We pray. Heavenly Father, lead us ever on. You have a paradise awaiting us. Be with us and strengthen us for every step of the journey, dear Lord. Direct and guide our path. Lead us ever homeward, dear Lord, through your grace and glory, through the power of your holy word. Enlighten and make us steadfast to the very end. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Henry and Mary Tibbett were a common family. Nothing much to talk about, except the fact that they were also an extraordinary family. Henry was a maintenance worker for the Windsor Township, and Mary had her own little quilting shop. They were average people with an average life, with three teenage daughters. Pretty normal stuff. And yet, what was so extraordinary about Henry and Mary and their three daughters was how closely knit they were together. Mom and Dad were all so excited about whatever the girls might be doing, their sports, their music, their drama, their hobbies, whatever. And obviously, the girls were just thrilled to have Mom and Dad so part of their life. They seemed inseparable at times, whether it was worship or vacations. They were always together, and they enjoyed it that way. But even on a deeper level, the one thing that was known about this family is you just never heard them argue, fight, or even have an attitude. They'd actually go out of their way to sit and talk with one another and listen with respect and cooperation. People will wonder, is this for real? It's almost like they cared more about everyone else in the family rather than themselves. They had truly a powerful love that bonded them together, and they so loved that love, they were going to make it happen and would not let anything destroy that love they had in their family. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus talks about another family much like the Tibbetts. Did you catch it? Did you hear what he had to say? These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus gives us a glimpse into the life of our triune God, our three-in-one God, one God, three persons, and how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak to each other and treat each other, and the enormous love that exists between each of them. Jesus speaks only what the Father has told him to speak. The Holy Spirit speaks only what the Father and the Son send him out to speak. In regards to Jesus' human nature, he says, "The Father is greater than I." But as to his divine nature, Jesus also declares, "I and the Father are one." Isn't it remarkable? Even though Jesus and the Holy Spirit are just as much God as the Father, one God, they do not take the liberty of either adding or subtracting from the Father's words, but only communicate exactly what the Father has told them to say. They're bonded to him. They're bonded to each other in inseparable love. And this bond between them goes far beyond just words and thoughts. Jesus tells his disciples, "The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Not only does he not say anything beyond the bounds of what the Father has told him to say, he only does that which the Father has told him to do. Every step of every day, every encounter, he doesn't freelance, he just doesn't go his own way and do his own thing. He only and always does what the Father says. And so in a spirit of complete unity and harmony and cooperation and purpose and forethought, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work and do their bidding and accomplish their mission. But what is this loving will the Father has? My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. The Almighty God has the one single will of saving us, of so loving us. Isn't it remarkable? Think a second of who this God is. He is so big and enormous that our universe is about the size of a marble in his hand. Who are we that he should take notice of us? We are specks, specks of dust. Specks that continually rebel against the Lord of glory, and he should care about the likes of us. And yet that's what's remarkable. God communicates his very heart to us. God loves us. God's love binds him to us and us to him. God's loving will is that he comes and makes his home with us, he says. Isn't that spectacular? That we should live with the Lord God Almighty? He doesn't say, get the guest room ready, I'm coming for a little visit. No, he says, open up your heart. I'm coming to live with you forever and abide with you and in you. Wow. That changes life. And so therefore, God came down in human flesh to dwell with us, to make his living here. He came to live in this world in order to first and foremost tell us about this God who is unfathomable, who is beyond our wildest imagination. And every word that Jesus speaks to us first came from the mouth of the Father. And every word that God speaks to us is him reaching out to bind us to himself more and more in his holy love. Jesus came here to give us peace. In a world that knew no peace, he came to be the peacemaker. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus came to give us peace. Hard-fought peace. Peace purchased with his sweat and blood. Not an insignificant peace. God had every reason to hate us, to destroy us, to loathe us. And yet, he sent his Son. He sent his Son to set things right between us, to pay our debt for us, to take our beating in our place. Jesus loves the Father and loves his holy will and loved to come here to fulfill his holy will so we would get credit for it. He kept those Ten Commandments perfectly and then credited to our account. Jesus loves his heavenly Father, and so he willingly stretched his arms out on that cross to bleed and die, to fulfill his heavenly Father's will for us, to be punished in our place, so that justice could be served to the fullest extent. God declared from on high, every sin will be punished. But we go unpunished. Because he was punished in our place. The Father's mighty hand that holds this universe like a marble and Jesus' scarred hands from the cross hold on to us. Hold us close to the heart of the Heavenly Father, to God Almighty, and make us His very own. God's love binds Him to us, and us to Him. Jesus not only came to give us peace, He came to send the Holy Spirit to us. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus promised that the Father would send the Holy Spirit with the exact words that Jesus received from the Father to teach us, to proclaim it unaltered to the apostles, and to cause it to be written down in the New Testament just as God had authored the Old Testament. That is why we confess that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Every single word authored by God without error or defect from cover to cover. That's a bold statement. And we arrive at it only because God declares that His word has been set down in Scripture. In wicked arrogance, ministers of God mix their own ideas and thoughts with the truths of God's saving word. Clergy who speak on their own and add or subtract to God's holy word are claiming a right and a privilege for themselves that even the Son nor the Holy Spirit claim for themselves. And yet in their sinful arrogance, they seem to know more than God the Father. Rather, every pastor, priest, teacher of God's word, instructor in all that is holy, all who are bound to God in His enormous love, are to approach God's word as though we're walking on holy ground. To remove our shoes and walk on this holy ground of His word and listen with devoted hearts and lives to the conversation that goes on between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ministers of Christ are to speak only what God has said and fully what God has said. Well, if it is pure evil for clergy to trash the Word of God and to praise their own imagination, is it not equally evil and wicked for the rest of us to push God's Word out of our thinking and feeling? And to actually presume in arrogance that our thoughts are the only things that really matter. Jesus declares, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." To obey Jesus' teaching is both to trust every word that comes from the mouth of God, but also to do everything that God commands us in His word. Jesus also points out for us the opposite. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. You'll be able to tell them by their fruit. That same snake that wound its way through the Garden of Eden and tempted Eve to doubt God's word, to doubt His goodness, and that He really knows what He's talking about. That same snake wants to slither through our garden and whisper in our ear as well. It loves to enchant us with the whole refrain, "Oh, sure, go ahead and say, 'Lord, I love you.' Just make sure you live whatever way you want to live. Don't actually follow too closely. After all, you're your own independent person, aren't you?" And so on one hand we say, "Oh Lord, You are our God." And on the other hand, then we condone all of our pet sins, all of our secret sins, sexual immorality, greed, hatred, envy. Do we lift up prayers on high and then jump in the sewer of our own self-centeredness? It's all about me. or the sewer of pornography or drunkenness or gossiping? Do we confess, oh God, you mean everything to me, except this summer when I'm going to pretty much take a break from worship and Bible study because the weather's going to be warm and there's so many fun things to do. You're really not that important. Which sin wants to grab a hold of us and bind itself to us and drag us off to a hole in hell? It must be defeated. That's why Jesus came into this world, to break the grasp of sin and hell and Satan and all that tempts us to wander away from our Lord. It's our Lord and His enormous love that moves us to repent of our sins, sins against this Lord who loves us so much. And in His love, He forgives and forgives and forgives some more. And the more He forgives us, the more He drives us to love Him for His grace unbounded. And in His enormous love, through the power of His word, He creates in us a new desire, a new strength to say no to the evil and wickedness within us and to say, yes, Lord, Your will be done, just as the Son and the Holy Spirit chant every day. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Even as we obey His teaching, that is a pure gift from God that He has worked in us and through us. God's love binds Him to us and us to Him. Those who do not know God's love cannot fathom for a minute how thoroughly God is ours and how thoroughly we are His. And what a beautiful family that is. He's called us out of the dark, dysfunctional family of this world where there is just biting and gnarling and evil and wickedness all the time, and has taken us into His holy family that we should be called the children of God. And that matters. The Tibet family was remarkable because of their loving devotion to each other. They would not allow anything to destroy their love nor their family. And they held on to that to the end. Our Savior would let nothing destroy us and stand in the way of Him winning peace and purchasing life everlasting. He so yearned for us to spend eternity in glory with Him. And now we pray. We pray, oh Lord, You have brought us into Your loving family. May our love for You now grow and be undiminished, that our love for You who have loved us may be a holy love, a pure love, a devoted love, that we might live with You and for You all the days of our life. In Christ we pray. Amen. Please rise. We pray, merciful Lord, our times are in Your hands, and so steer us, guide us, lead us, prod us, move us ever onward down the road that leads to our eternal home. Fill our hearts and minds with the power of Your word, dear Lord, that every word that comes from the mouth of God may feed us and nourish us now and forevermore, that we might sing Your praise here in holy joy as the angels do on high. In Christ, our living Lord, we pray. Amen.